to the Sportscast, October 5th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. You could also visit us on thesportscast.net, or you can follow us on X on the Sportscast One. Check out our app, the Sportscast for iOS. The Major League Baseball postseason, I call it postseason, not playoffs, has begun. The wild card is done. Around every series was a sweep, so there was not much competition, arguably. And tonight we got a reoccurring guest, his third appearance on the Sportscast, Zach Repikoff, the author of Unmask. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hello, everyone, and in Streamland.
So, Zach, how have you been since we last saw you? You were on the Jersey Boys.
Let's see, how have I been? I guess pretty good. You know, I play pickleball almost every day and can't complain about life at the moment, to tell you the truth. I eat out at restaurants. I basically have a nice life.
You are living the dream.
Finally.
So the last time we heard, which you were on the Jersey Boys a couple of months ago, you were writing a book. How is that going on?
Put it on hold for a while. Ted wanted to put it on hold for a while. And you know, he's working with doing some work with Major League Baseball.
So he's doing important stuff, you're saying.
Well, I don't know how important it is, but while he's doing that, he didn't feel comfortable coming out with a book when he's around the people that would be involved in the book.
Makes sense. So there was a conflict of interest.
He just didn't want to step on any balancing acts, you know? So for the time being, we're just going to stop until, you know, this shakes out. Maybe it'll be a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is.
Sounds good. Zach is on hold, but he's on standby as well.
What does that mean?
Meaning that you could continue with that book down the road.
Oh, yeah, I think we will.
Well, there you have it. The MLB wildcard round is pretty much was over. It was pretty much a sweep of all the teams. There was not much competition, arguably speaking. But let me recap what happened this past couple of days. And the Rangers swept the Rays 2-0, obviously, the series. The Twins, first time in 21 years, they win a postseason, but also win a postseason series. The Phillies swept my Miami Marlins, and the Diamondbacks swept the Brewers as well. Zach, what was your thoughts over this past wild card round? A little bit expanded.
You know, to truth be told, I'm not crazy about the format. I think if it's a wild card, it should be a one-game thing like it used to be. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. And then have two games, and then have the next game the next day with the winner, and that's it. And you're done. You don't deserve to be in a series at this point. I mean, I assume the owners want to make a little dough. And even with the way it is, I don't get why it's three games at one place. You know, they could very easily afford 1-1-1. They could afford 1-2, either way. So I don't understand why all three games have to be there. As you mentioned, they didn't have to have three games. I was a little surprised, actually, that the Twins, I mean, I didn't follow the Twins much during the season, but it seems like I thought they would lose to the to the Blue Jays, but they beat them. And at Tampa Bay, I thought would definitely come out on top. They got beat. in the National League, you know, I live in Miami, so I don't live in Miami, I live in Palm Beach, but I was sort of rooting for the Marlins and thought they had a chance. I mean, you know, they didn't. and the Diamondbacks, I thought during the season, were very good. I'm not surprised that they won their series 2-0.
So you brought up the New York Yankees before the show. What happened this season? It's the first time they missed the postseason since 2016.
Well, keep in mind, I don't think it's ever the manager or the general manager. I always think it's the players. You know, want to fire this guy, that guy. They don't play. They don't hit. They don't pitch. They don't run. They don't feel. They're major league players. They should be able to play as good as anybody else. They didn't get to the majors by being average. They got to the majors by being the best of the best of the best their whole careers. So if you remember correctly, at the beginning of the season, the Yankees were off to a very good start. And then Judge hurt his toe. And the whole team collapsed around that, not because necessarily of him, but they all struggled. So you have that, you have a recipe for failure. You can't, you know, you call up players, they play, you know, they don't play. He plays, they play. Everyone doesn't play great, and you don't play enough, you don't get enough wins, and before you know it, you're 20 games out.
It definitely adds up, and as Zach said, yeah, players have a lot to do with it, especially in baseball. Aaron Judge, how much of a factor is he with New York?
Well, he's the biggest thing in New York. He's the best player in New York, of course. He's one of the best players in baseball, if you think about it. And you can count on him. You really can count on him, you know. Even when he strikes out, like, next time up, you can count on him. You never feel like you're out of it when he's up at the plate. I really like him very much. You know, I've had my time loving the Yankees, certain players as I've grown up. And I think it started with Mickey Mantle, and then it perhaps went to maybe Derek Jeter, I guess. And then now this guy. So I haven't had many to really say that this is my guy and I think that they're a great Yankee. But this guy happens to be, you know, stays out of trouble, doesn't say stupid things, and just seems like a great player and a great person. In my opinion, I don't know him, but when you stay out of trouble and you stay out of the newspapers and you don't stay out of the limelight, you're doing something right.
Yeah, he's probably the biggest thing since Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter time. So he's definitely an icon in New York. And of course, he was rumored to be traded last season, I heard, because he was very expensive. But the Yankees were able to keep him on. We got some breaking news. Dick Butkus died tonight. Ooh. They found him unconscious in his Hawaii home. Are you familiar with Dick Butkus?
Very familiar. When I think he played in the, if I'm going to take my guess, in the 60s. And tops the, I don't know, maybe the 70s. I don't know. Hold on one second, please.
Go ahead. Yeah, so Dick Butkus, 80 years old, played for the Chicago Bears. And I believe he coached there too, I believe.
Yeah, he was. You got it in Chicago lore. He goes down as probably top three in sports history. No question about it.
RIP Dick Butkus. The Chicago Bears confirmed the story. It was first reported by TMZ. So he was only 80 years old. He died in Malibu, California, not Hawaii. My apologies. RIP to him, legend. And I'm sure that tonight.
I believe he's coached the 85 Bears when they were the. They called them some name. I forgot the name of it now.
Yeah, which they were known for their defense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He was, I think he was a middle linebacker when he played, actually. He was very, very physical. Remember, that was his big thing.
Which, by the way, tonight the Chicago Bears play at the Washington Commanders.
That's right. They're on probably on
Amazon Prime,
NFL Network, or Amazon or something.
Yeah, so I'm sure they're gonna have a special tribute to him
right
tonight. So the timing couldn't have been, I mean, interesting, but we'll see what happens. So this weekend begins the ALDS and the NLDS as well. Some say this is where the postseason really starts. It should be a lot closer. Let's look at the first series. Texas Rangers versus the Baltimore Orioles. Rangers, I believe they haven't gotten this. Well, Rangers has never won the World Series. That's definitely for sure. The Orioles ran away with the American League East. The Rangers lost control of the West on the final day of the season, but blitzed Tampa Bay in the wild card series to earn a trip to Camden Yards for game one this weekend. The Orioles boast a lineup of homegrown players bringing on superstardom, especially infielder Gunnar Henderson and catcher Adley Rutschman. The Rangers will counter with a lineup built around $500 million free agent duo of Corey Seager and Mark Semien, with a rotation led by veterans Jordan Montgomery and Nathan Eovaldi. What are your thoughts over this series, Zach?
Well, the Orioles, first of all, I got to tell you, I don't know where they came from. But I used to think they were bad for a million years. Where did this come from, you know? I mean, trust me, back in my time, they were in the World Series. They were, you know, gave the Yankees trouble. They had Jim Palmer. They had Mike Cuellar. I mean, they were very good. They had Brooks Robinson. I mean, they had great teams. But, you know, up until recently, maybe last year or this year for sure, they've come alive and they are on a hot streak. So although the Rangers, on the other hand, I saw Jordan Montgomery pitch the other day. Guy is great. I mean, the guy's breaking ball was as good as anyone's. So they're lucky that they won in two games, because he could certainly come back to pitch in the game one or two of this coming up.
Yeah.
I got, as far as their hitters go, I don't know much about the Rangers again. Who's their featured player on the Rangers?
The Rangers featured player. Give me one sec. I have it right here in my notes. The Rangers has a lineup built around $500 million free agent duo, Corey Seager and Marcus Semien.
Okay, so they don't have this other guy, Rosarena. He's on Tampa, was he?
I believe so. Let me look that up. And they also have, led by veterans Jordan Montgomery and Nathan Eovaldi.
Oh yeah, Eovaldi's great now.
Yeah.
I remember when he was with the Yankees, he couldn't get out of three innings. And now the guy is great.
Yeah, so Rangers do have some people, but can that be enough to beat the
Orioles? They have Max Scherzer.
Exactly, Max Scherzer, Corey Seager, Adalys Garcia, Nathan Eovaldi. So, and let me pull up the MLB website here.
So Max Scherzer must be pitching on Saturday. If I can't imagine him not, right?
He should be. I've not heard any roster announcements, but
let's see.
That sounds about right to me.
Pitching matchups for Rangers versus Orioles.
Zach is working in through the Google search.
I don't know. I can't get it immediately. Let's see if I can find it somewhere. Those used Rangers versus Orioles predictions pitching. Here we go.
And this is for Saturday.
Game one. Just tells you that Saturday at 1:00. Oh, wait, here we go. Lineup, rotation, bullpen. Oh, too long. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Let's move on to something else.
Okay. The Baltimore Orioles had the second best record after the Atlanta Braves.
They can hit. They can hit these guys. They can hit.
Yeah. But the Rangers will be a tough test, Zach, as Texas was the best hitting team in the American League, leading in walks and runs and tied for first in homers. Baltimore also has an impressive lineup, but Texas has one of the lowest chase and strikeout rates, along with one of the highest hard hit rates in the game, giving them a slight edge. So Baltimore is favored by the bookies, by the way. And the Orioles led baseball with 48 comeback wins and will try to bounce starters early to attack the Rangers in the best of five series set. So the wild card was best of three. Now with the ALDS, would be the best of five.
You know, they haven't announced their pitchers yet.
They haven't announced it. Do you think they'll announce it by tomorrow? Or
yeah, of course.
Or day of. Okay. Well, there have it. That's series should be. What's your prediction for the series? Who will win and by how much?
I don't know. I mean, it's 4 out of 7, right?
No, it's the best out of
five.
Five.
Yeah. No, you sure?
I'm serious. And then for the championship series would be the best out of.
Well, first of all, they have to go to the championship series. Yes, that's 7. And then, of course, the World Series.
World Series.
So this is 3 out of 5, huh?
Yep.
Well, I'm going to take the Orioles only because I know more about them from being in the East.
There you have it. Orioles win it in 3, you said.
No, I don't know. Sweep. No. You don't sweep.
Zach Rebrikov will pick the Orioles. I'll put it down here in my notes. All right, the next series, Minnesota Twins, who have not been in the postseason for 21 years. They got in. They won their wild card. Now they're going up against defending champions, the Astros. And the Astros actually made it, like, won their division last minute, actually. The Twins won a postseason game for the first time since 2004. Not only that, the Twins brushed aside the Toronto Blue Jays to capture a postseason series for the first time since 2002. For their next trick comes for a huge matchup against the Astros, the Kings of the American League. The Astros have won 51.7% of their 118 games they have played as a favorite this season. Houston has home field advantage, Zach, and DraftKings Sportsbook has the Astros favorite over the Twins. What is your thought over this series?
You can always say whatever you think, and you can predict. The bottom line is nobody knows. But if you ask me to make a guess, I would guess the Astros, because they have Verlander. They have what's the second baseman's name? The small guy. What's his name? I just thought of it.
Altuve?
They have Altuve.
Yeah,
they have Bregman. I mean, no, do they still have Bregman, right?
Let me look this up. I don't have.
You're supposed to know this stuff.
I don't have the Astros roster memorized. That's the only thing I can tell you. But let me look that up for you.
No, you take too long. Where does Alex Bregman play?
Bregman plays right third base.
That I know. For who?
For the Astros.
Okay, so that they have him.
Right.
They have this guy. Their shortstop. What's this guy's shortstop's name?
Shortstop, let me pull that up for you.
Pull up the lineup for these guys. I mean, the lineup is
here. It is right in front of you.
Yeah, Jordan Alvarez. I mean, they have a very powerful lineup. These guys. I don't see them losing. Altuve is impossible. Not the guy. I don't know how he does hits homers. The guy is so short. I mean, hits homers like all the time.
Yeah,
got a lot of homers.
It's interesting. Do you remember when they cheated back in 2017-18?
Yeah, he cheated.
I watched the documentary. It's interesting how they did it. They would bang trash cans in the background.
I know.
And they will let the pitcher know how this guy's going to hit. It's crazy.
Well, you know, when I saw him cross home plate when he hit the home run to win the game,
yeah,
I saw him mouth the words. I mean, he said them, but you couldn't hear it through the crowd and the noise. He said these words in Spanish. No toca mi camisa.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Because he had the wire down in here, I think.
Yeah, no, no, it's very possible.
I know he mouthed those words. I watched it 100 times.
Don't touch my shirt. Which you know what that means in Spanish.
Of course, that's why I said it. Don't touch my camisa, my shirt.
Well, we'll see what the Astros do, see how deep they go in the playoffs. What is your prediction? How, like, in how many games will the Astros win?
I don't know. my guess is less than five.
You don't believe in sweeps?
It's hard to do.
It's hard. It is hard to do in baseball. All right. The Philadelphia Phillies, who just beat the Marlins, go up against the best record of the season, Atlanta Braves. The Phillies took care of businesses against the Marlins to set up a rematch of last year's National League Division Series with the Atlanta Braves. At this stage in October, it doesn't get much better than this. Philadelphia are the defending National League champions. Bryce Harper, Zach, returned from Tommy John surgery and put together an excellent season. Trey Turner has catalyzed the lineup. Bryson Scott and Alec Bohm are a year older and wiser. Kyle Schwarber can go deep at any time. It's a strong offense. The Braves manager, Brian Snicker, is one of the best in baseball history. The group slugged a preposterous .501 this season. Ronald Acuna Jr. became the first member of the 40-70 club. I remember that was a week ago. Matt Olson led the sport with 54 homers. Marcel Ozuna supplied 40. Austin Riley hit 37, and Ozzie Albies connected for 433. The ball could be flying in this series unless Spencer Strider and Zach Wheeler have something to say about that. What are your thoughts over this series, the Atlanta versus Philadelphia?
Even, I think. However, I see the Braves have a home field advantage. I like the Braves.
I like the Braves, too. They might win the whole thing, you think?
Of course.
They got a good roster.
They win a million games.
Should be sufficient. So the Braves have home field advantage. That series starts this Saturday. And this is going to be a good one. It's one of the, probably one of the best series.
I think they all start on Saturday, no?
Yeah, I think all of them do. Yep. They all play on Saturday. One thing about the sports deck that I like is that you can play two games in a row. Versus other sports, you can't do that.
Yeah, of course. You can play every day.
It's amazing. But anyways, the other series, the West Coast, Arizona Diamondbacks versus the Los Angeles Dodgers. Zach likes the Dodgers, I heard.
I like the Dodgers. I've always, you know, seemed to like the Dodgers because they were from New York originally, you know, and I had, you know, some friends that played on the Dodgers and people I know from the Dodgers. So whenever they're playing, you know, I root for them. But other than that, I probably never think of them in my life.
The Dodgers entered the NLDS as the heavy favorites to advance. The Diamondbacks have a 100+175 odds to move past the divisional round. The Dodgers went 8-5 against the Diamondbacks this season. It's a good record. And they were particularly effective against Arizona at Dodger Stadium, posting a 5-2 record against the franchise at home and 3-3 on the road. Carroll, Marte, Gurriel, and Christian Walker have been Arizona's leaders at the plate this season. Carroll, a rookie, has been particularly impressive in his first full major league season and could very well win the National League Rookie of the Year award. He finished the regular season slashing .285 with 25 home runs, 76 RBI, and 54 stolen bases. Walker also put together a career year with 33 home runs, 103 RBIs, and 11 stolen bases. And the Dodgers have plenty of championship experience on their roster with the likes of Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, JD Martinez, Clayton Kershaw, you know him, Zach, and Enrique Hernandez. What's going to happen here? Is this going to be an easy one for the Dodgers, or will Arizona put up a fight?
You know, it's funny about Kershaw. I can't say for sure, but for some reason, I think that he doesn't do great in the playoffs. Am I correct?
Yeah, correct. He's not like the best as in like he was in the regular season.
That's but you can never, you can't, it's hard to think that way when he's pitching. So you got to figure he's good to at least hold them down and see if they can come around with some runs. So you got to give them a win on that one. And he figures to start. I'm not sure. Again, I don't follow them really, but I assume if he's one of the top pitchers in the world, he's going to be pitching on Saturday. So that gives them a win. And, you know, they got a lot of good hitting. I mean, they look to get to where these players, all these players and teams are, they have to have played a good season. So they're all doing well. But the Dodgers, like you say, have Betts, have Freddie Freeman. I mean, these guys have shown before that they know how to play baseball in the highest of times. So got to give it to them.
So you pick the Dodgers, don't you?
Of course.
Mookie Betts was arguably the team's best player. Kershaw is a 3-time Cy Young winner, was LA's leader on the mound. And given LA's championship pedigree, Zach, it's going to be hard for the Diamondbacks to pull off the upset. That said,
well, they're not used to this, the Diamondbacks. I haven't seen them in the playoffs in a million years.
When was the last time an Arizona team won a championship in any sport?
Maybe their college team. I don't know.
That's it. The Suns haven't done it in has ever done it. The baseball team hasn't done it. Their football team, forget about it. So we'll see what happens to Arizona sports. Well, there you have it. That is the preview of the postseason ALDS and the NLDS. A lot of drama in baseball. What I like about baseball and their postseason, Zach, is done in 1 month. It's beautiful. It's short and sweet.
You should have been alive when they had one team win the pennant in the American League and one team win in the National League. Bang. You win the pennant, you're in the World Series.
Oh, it was
phenomenal. It was unbelievable.
I would not be opposed to that if they brought that back.
The way it was. I mean, again, there was a time, I don't know if you know this or not, and I never saw it. They used to play 9 games to win the World Series.
Wow.
That was win 5 out of 9.
Wow. So, before the Super Bowl, the World Series was the biggest thing in town.
It was the only thing in town. I mean, what, the NBA championship or the hockey, you know, but I think Major League Baseball always, World Series is always the top premier event of any sport in the world.
When did you think football surpassed baseball? Like what decade?
I don't know, but I'm going to take a guess. I shouldn't even guess, but I'm going to say 90s.
The 90s. Interesting. I was not, because I always ask people around and some say earlier, some say later, but that's sounds about right. Zach, from this list of teams here, who do you think will make it to the World Series?
Dodgers, the Astros.
That would be a dream World Series.
Not a dream. The Yankees are in it. It's a dream.
It's a dream. So what should the Yankees do to improve and get back into the postseason?
Well, probably a new manager. Only because, there's probably other reasons, but only because, you know, there's too much dissension about having him or not having him. So, that said, you know, all right, so let's get a new guy. There's plenty of guys available. This guy, Craig Counsell, is available. You know, anyway, so they can get into one of those. Cashman, I think, probably should give it up to some other person to handle this. You know, he's also drifting in turmoil and probably tumulted like, oh, how am I supposed to enjoy my life? Everyone in the world thinks I'm nuts. The team is nuts. They're blaming me. Who needs this? I mean, the guy He doesn't need it. He should just say, okay, let's start all over. And they'll get new players and they'll try again. They still have still the Yankees. They still have Judge. They still have Cole. And to be perfectly honest, I think Rizzo will come back and be very good. I think, what's his name? The new center fielder, when he gets better, this new kid that pulverized the ball first two games, whatever his name was, he'll come back and be good.
Yankees will always be the premier baseball club.
Most famous team in the history of sports in the world, period.
And they make, I think they're still in the top 10 of like the sports teams in the world that makes like the most revenue.
Of course.
Zach, can you tell us about your book?
Briefly, it's called Unmasked, The Honorable and Dishonorable Truths of a Professional Baseball Umpire. You can get it on Amazon, through Kindle, or hardcover. It's a story about my life, starting from when I used to lie as a kid to when I became a major league umpire and afterwards. And there's a few stories that you may happen to like. I mean, I don't necessarily hit people over the head there with a hammer, you know, maybe with, or use an iron fist, but, you know, a couple of, I leave it to my audience to think about what they want to think about with the people that I've come up with and who got in my way.
And you can check out Zach's book in the description. There is a link to the book, so definitely check it out. And Zach has relived the moments before video replay. It was pretty much like up to the empire, right, Zach?
Yes. Although I just recently read, I was reading something and I thought I misread it, but it was true. At the very beginning of baseball, when there was one umpire, he would sometimes ask the crowd to help him.
Wow.
Like, I didn't see good. What did you think? Yeah.
I would love to. I mean, I don't know if we could bring those days back, but that'd be interesting.
You seriously?
How could you? Zach, what is the best way to reach you online?
Oh, just go to theunmaskedumpire.com.
Theunmaskedumpire.com. I saw that you have a Twitter.
I do?
Yeah, it's HackReb1951.
Okay, go on.
There you go. I'm not sure how much you tweet, but it's there.
I don't. If I see one, I'll answer. I don't know what else to do.
You can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 and X/Twitter and also Instagram. Later tonight, Victor Orocho and the Jersey Boys are up to bat. They're in the bullpen warming up, and they'll be previewing the Giants versus the Miami Dolphins. What's your thoughts all over that game?
The Giants will lose.
It was a funny conversation when you asked Victor and Byron if Eli Manning will make first ballot Hall of Fame. That was a great question.
To me, the guy caught a ball on top of his head. Unless he'd be no one.
There you go.
A wobbly pass on top of it. Come on.
He got lucky. Well, you get lucky in football and also in baseball in the postseason. Zach, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And this was your update.